Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 187, part 1, Nothing. Today is Friday, February 18th, 2011. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's Club is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food, you live anywhere in Minnesota, and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support Pastor Paul's Club. Up at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, LifeVantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can leave a comment, ask a question, or make a suggestion, or give a testimony at Pastor Paul's blog. You can also call the comment line. That number is 1-877-489-0922, and the local number is 612-208-0916. Scripture links within the message are in the show notes at Pastor Paul's blog. Pastor Paul's podcast is twice weekly. Part 1 is on Friday. Part 2 is on Sunday. For the month of February, these are the messages: battles, division, nothing, from nothing to all things. Have a great month of February. We'll see you back here twice weekly for Pastor Paul's podcast. God bless you.
Wait a minute. Tonight's tape is entitled Nothing. Tonight, before we enter into John 14 and 5, without me ye can do nothing, let's go back and look at what David has to say in Psalm 19 and 6. His going forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. God is in everything, and it says, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It doesn't say for all things, it says in all things. If you're in it, give thanks. So God is in everything, God is everywhere. It's here tonight. God is all the time, full time. I like that. I believe there are no seeking souls out there in this whole wide world that you'll ever be denied God's love. Any seeking soul. None. No matter how depraved they are, no matter what they've done. And even death shall find the power of his presence, the Bible says. I was looking at the news here this week about this Leonard Bias. What a terrible thing. And, you know, there's many, many others that aren't that popular, of course, or in the forefront. Maybe I thought, did he think that, like some of us, that he was invulnerable? Sometimes we think that way, don't we? That he could make it all alone, and Psalm 49 and 17 says, for when he dieth, he shall carry, and listen, nothing away. And when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. And all of us carry nothing away. When you leave here, you'll carry nothing away. So why, you know, scrimp and save, and that's all right for a rainy day, I guess, but why be that way all the time for something you can't even carry out of here? All of our fame and all of our fortune has got to be left. Is then, I thought, what we think? Is then what we say? Is then what we produce of any use if God isn't in it? What good is it? No, count it nothing. And Paul says, I count it all dung. Kind of rude, huh? Well, that's what he said. A bunch of dung. See, to do good wins fame in heaven. But to do good to yourself is the prudent thing among the men of the world. Only for yourself. Well, that looks like it would be good for me. And this looks like it would be good for me. And I don't want to do that or enter into this because I'll become unpopular if I do. And that wouldn't be good for me. Oh, heavens, no. But I'll tell you, there'll be not one whisper of congratulations that will follow the departing millionaire. Congratulations, you made $1 million. You're going to have to leave it right here. Or even the prosperity for sons. They won't get congratulated on how much faith they had to receive for themselves. See, because if we have faith in God, then we have faith to believe for others. You know, freely, freely I've given you, freely give it away. What has God given you? He's given you forgiveness, and that's what you have to give other folks. I didn't say you're going to get along with everybody, but you have to be forgiving. And so you can't take nothing with you. Let us not turn our backs in the day of battle. When the going gets tough, when funds don't seem to come in like they should, and you start to quiver and shake. Remember what Jesus said, ye can do nothing without me. In verse 20 then, man that is in honor and understandeth not, that means when you attain some kind of thing. But it says, he understandeth not is like the beasts that perish. Are you willing to become nothing for the Lord Jesus? I mean nothing. Well, let me see. You're something if you're always arguing. And then that means you are something. You got something to argue about. You ever see someone that's always arguing? Well, then they think there's something because they got something to argue about. Well, if they weren't arguing, then we'd know that they'd become nothing. Nothing doesn't argue. Nothing doesn't exalt itself above God. But are you willing to lose your reputation? Oh, God, how we love to build a reputation. Then you build it up and somebody pushes it over. Isn't that right? Well, that's what their reputations are made for, so somebody can ruin it. And the higher you get, the more rep you get, the more able you are, and the more that you're going to get pushed over. Well, I think I'm willing because in the process, see, you build a character, and then you become a character. I'd rather have character than a great reputation. But are you willing to lose that reputation? You say, well, I am. Then grow in understanding your nothingness. See, you have to grow in understanding your nothingness. You can say you're nothing, but you have to grow in that. Self always crawls out of the Pandora box and says, hey, look at me. Because if it don't, then it says you perish like the beasts. And so now then, without me ye can do nothing, John 14 and 5. What a great word for today that is. When all attention is on man, your faith, you can buy tapes on how to have faith, you can spend, well, it's just like the world. They have, you can spend $400 on how to be a successful in real estate, and all it is cheating. How to cheat successfully. You hearing this? But all the attention is on man, your faith, your prosperity, your claiming, your life, your choice, your rights. And I thought, oh, what a self-slayer that verse is. Without me, ye can do nothing. Now, you get up to one of those seminars, they have them on TV all the time, they have these real estate seminars. Say, well, you can't do nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. They'd boo you right out of the place. You hear this? Well, someone told me, you know, if you don't stick up for yourself, no one will. I says, that's true. But then again, if you live only for yourself, you are truly nothing. And I think it's a fact that wherever heresies have risen in the church of Jesus Christ, it's because some man has dishonored God and flattered himself. But I think there's a whole lot of teaching out there that flatters us. Well, we got it all. We have Jesus in the closet over here. And on Sunday, we put him on a flannel board. No, Jesus says, without me, ye can do nothing. The exalting then of human nature and the casting down of the sovereignty of God's divine grace. That's what's happening right now. People rob God of the glory which is due him and lift up the rebellious, depraved nature of man. But the doctrines of the gospel, or the, let's say, the doctrines of grace, are exactly the opposite. They put us very, very low. And they present, Jesus said, if I be high and lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Did you ever try to draw men unto you? The only way you can draw them is with a lot of money. When you run out of money, they run too. Did you ever notice that when you were in the world and you had some substance? I know I did. That all kind of friends, see, when I had money. When it was gone, they were gone. Sometimes that happens with Christians too. Then I hear someone say something like this, I don't know the word so well, says the person. Well, there's a test that you can carry right along with you. I mean, even if you're a babe, even if you've only had one day in salvation, I'll call it the spirit test. Does it glorify God or does it exalt man? Who's wearing the crown, God or man? And preacher, will you go on under traumatic pressures and just go on when the glory indicator is on zero? You're not getting any glory out of it. Seems like the more you do for the Lord, the less that you're thought of. Will you go on? When the old glory meter isn't, ringing, ding, huh? So I think we have to look at three things here tonight. God's word, Jesus says, without me, he can do nothing. Number one, I think this is true of the saints in the matter of relating to themselves. And secondly, this is even more manifestly true of the unconverted, the unregenerate. Number three, also, we be found by experience to be equally a fact. If we look at the sinners in relation, or the saints in relation to the sinners, without Christ, none of us can do nothing in relating to sinners as far as getting them saved. Can you save someone? So number one, then, the saint in relation to himself. Jesus says, without me, he can do nothing. First, I think I ought to get into explaining this and then try to support it. Then I think we ought to learn a lesson from it. But do you really understand before that I start? If you've been through anything in the whole of your life or your ministry, if you're listening to me, pastor on the radio, preacher, evangelist, you out there doing work for the Lord, do you really understand this? Without me, ye can do nothing. And I heard you say it tonight. Well, I just gave up. I just thought, but there's nothing I can do. See, it doesn't say almost nothing. It doesn't say very close to nothing. It goes to the very root. Without me, ye can do nothing. Positively, nothing. Zero, zilch. Nothing. Nothing at all. And I hear brains thinking now, wheels turning now, saying, well, I can do some things. No, you can do nothing. God is the one that gave you breath, and he's keeping your heart beating right now. And then I hear someone on the radio. Here they are again, and they're questioning. You mean nothing? Yes, nothing. But what if I strive? What if I bring all of my energies to a single point? What if I have positive thinking? And positive, I'll tell you what positive thinking is. It's positively stinking. Why? It lifts up self, and it's doomed to failure. But what if I concentrate all of my efforts on one purpose and one plan? What if I am earnestly earnest? How about if I pray through? Well, if you're doing it in your own might and power, it won't go through. Do nothing till you hear from me. Don't move a muscle 1 degree. Do nothing till you hear from me. How would you like to be the one at the race that holds a gun? And the guy would say, do you want us to go now? Do you want us to go now? Do you want us to go now? You'd probably take the gun and shoot that guy over in the third lane there. Bang. Oh, I don't like that kind of preaching. Well, hey, there's got to be some kind of humor in the way I preach here. Because I'll tell you something, it just knocks people dead if they don't have some kind of humor in it. You understand that? Do nothing till you hear from me. See, because you'd probably shoot that guy over there for asking you a question. Oh, I wouldn't. No, I'm too sanctimonious. Can't you see my thin religious lips and my bun hair and my flowered up flake? Hey, that ain't got nothing to do with being saved. Some of the meanest people I know dress like that. That's why they're mean. But do you mean to say nothing? Oh, yes, nothing. Shall I go now? Shall I go now? Shall I go now? Bam! What if I strive? What if I bring all of my energies into this thing? What if I give up my all? You don't have nothing to give it. You're all with. I mean, won't my efforts aid God? No. Jesus said no. Without me, ye can do nothing. Now, how many have come to realize that? I mean, really realize it. And don't we get back into the same thing again? Well, I don't worry. I just fret. I laugh. Mick and Lishan and I were out, and Mick says, well, once in a while, Lisha worries. She says, no, I don't, I fret. Nothing. Strive all you want, grit your teeth, resolve, flare your nostrils, stand on your tiptoes, oh, show all your neck veins, turn them blue, turn blue in the face and yell, who's the greatest? And all you will do is sink deeper into the mire of desperation or presumption. Are you hearing this tonight? No, I am. If I knew I was going to have to listen to something like this, I just wouldn't even have came. I came to be lifted up. I'm not going to lift you up. I'm going to lift Jesus up. See, the thing is, you need to die. Die daily. Well, you haven't died all week, so. Now we got to deal with 6 or 7 days of you. You had a buildup in the flesh. Stockpiling. It's dangerous. Your reactor might have a leak in it. You might poison people. Isn't that the problem? Not quite dead yet. Die to yourself. You can do nothing without the Lord. Well, that doesn't prove itself. You've been trying to lift yourself, your spirits up all week, trying to make yourself feel good. You've read every book known to every bookstore. Oh, you've done everything. You've looked in the mirror and you've quoted scripture to yourself. Come on, self. Oh, has it helped any? You've called every spiritual giant that you know. You're probably saying there's no turning back all week. You're mad about it. No turning back. Oh, turning back. How many have sang that song? How many have tried to convince herself by singing that song? By the power of persuasion, maybe? Of course there's no turning back. You're not of this world. You can't turn back. No, you are kept by the power of God. Of course there's no turning back. There'll be a rope on you, but you can just go around in a circle or zigzag a little bit, but God won't let you go. But also this scripture doesn't say this. Without me, you will not be able to do great things. Some supernatural deeds of daring, maybe. Some great sacrifice, some self-denial. No, without me, let's keep it simple, stupid. Without me, you can do nothing. Including those things which you think that are exclusively yours. Well, we think we're exclusive in certain areas, don't we? Like little deeds of piety, maybe. Things we think in our proud conceit we are more than adequately and sufficiently equipped with, specialized maybe. Ooh, no, Jesus means you can do nothing, great or small, alone. They are beyond your power. Now that stirs up the flesh. Because we always want to do something. It's just like a little kid. I want to do it. But we're not capable. We're not able. It's like a one-year-old. I want to drive. I want to clean. I want to preach. Well, do you want to run a mission, maybe? Well, better seek the Lord on that one, because you can't even make that decision by yourself. You got to be called to it. And after you're called to it, you got to remember you can do nothing without Jesus in it. Nothing. Like that, you can't. But I can, you can't. You can't even be nice without Jesus. Oh, people have always said I've had a wonderful disposition. You know me, Lord, how sweet I am. And the Lord tests out your sweetness with every unlovely person known in your area. And then he says to you, without me, ye can do nothing, Miss Sweetie Pie. You can't even be sweet without me. Boy, what a message. I'm really feeling like nothing. Well, that's exactly my point. You have a way of making your person feel like nothing? No, the scripture does that. I'm just merely quoting the scripture here. Don't you wish there were a lot of times that folks would get this scripture down, they are nothing? Huh? Especially the hyper faith boobs running around. They don't dare. They dare not say to one of their faith partners that they failed in something. They're too proud to say that. Pride cometh before the fall. No divine act must have the self in it. Every divine act that ever was has to have the divine power of the Holy Ghost in it, or it won't work. And isn't it most times the small things we have trouble with? Someone didn't smile at you today. And you said, "Hi, praise the Lord." Did that cripple you for the whole day, sonny boy? Isn't it the small things we have trouble with and find out most of all our weaknesses? And we feel so led. Why did I fall on that stupid little thing? I always fall for that one. Because you think you can stand up in small things. Oh, I can handle that. I can handle that person. I really got to pray about that person. No, that's the wrong way to enter into prayer. I got to pray about them. I hate their guts. Jesus in me loves them, but I hate them. Face all twitching up. See, here we have Peter. He can walk on the sea, but he cannot bear the jest of a little maiden. Weren't you there? Weren't you there? No! Whoops. Then we have Job. He could take all the losing of things, but the upbraiding words of his false friends, oh no, that's too much. And even though they were words and they wouldn't break his bones, they made him speak bitterly, more bitterly than all the boils and sores on his skin. And look at Jonah, who said, he did well to be angry, even unto death, about the gourd which wilted over his proud face. Did you ever try to smile a divine smile after someone has all but thrown garbage on you? Or walk away divinely? Well, I've had those tests several times in my ministry. And I knew this scripture and I learned this scripture some years before. Without me, ye can do nothing. I even practiced it in the morning. I'd say, "Lord, where are my shoes? I can't find them. They're under your bed." "No, I remember taking them off downstairs." And I'd go downstairs and I'd look all over, and finally I'd go back upstairs and look under the bed, and of course they were there. And I tried that every day. I would do that, and if I'd lose things, I'd pray to the Lord and I'd look around for myself and say, "Okay, now Lord, you got to show me where this thing is. Without me, ye can do nothing." Now, you're starting a print shop. Without me, ye can do nothing. Right? I mean, there's just nothing that'll turn out. Without me, ye can do nothing. You can do nothing without me. And people have gone through battles. I hear them on the telephone and they'll write, heard your broadcast today, and wow. I've gone through some real heavy things. I've lived through some terrible storms. I was pulled out of a demolished car. And a week later, I slipped on a banana peel and broke my back. Oh, I've been through everything now. I can take the whoops. Who do you think saved you out of that automobile accident? How about giving praise unto the Lord right now so you won't slip on a banana peeling? Unless, like, they had these great big old wrestlers out there. I mean, of course, it's phony. I mean, they could bust each other's arms off. But they do tussle quite a bit out there. It does get a little bit rough. Huh? Without me, you can do nothing. And they growl and grunt and run out there, get a Charlie horse in the back of their leg. Well, it's the end of that guy. You ever been on top of it? Boy, everything has gone your way. An allergy hits you. Your eyes are bleeding. Now, I know you people don't like to hear this, you hyper-faith people. You just say it's a symptom, don't you? Well, they put on your tombstone, you died of symptomatitis then. Better take care of it. Ain't there a whole lot of nuts running around? But has it not been so with a professed Christian? That they stood in great trials and under terrible pressures and they outlived terrible slanders. Have you been slandered lately? Don't people love to slander? It's so much fun. They've been through all that, and yet in an evil hour, trusting in themselves, their foot has slipped under some slight temptation. Or because of some very small difficulty, they've shown their face. Someone beeps a horn and keeps beeping their horn. And you get out of your car and you pull a straw hat right down over the guy's ears and eyes. Well, you felt like doing that. Huh? Small little things. You've been through traumatic trials, and then one of your kids comes in. They just irritate you so bad. And you stretch one of their ears out so they could use it as one of these French berets, you know what I mean? Well, it's just showing you that you can do nothing without the Lord. You just got off the telephone. Oh, I don't know how you do it. You maintain your house. You're such a wonderful... Oh, well, I just trust in God, you know. That's the way I do it. Yeah, yes, just trust in the Lord. And you know, you minister to all these people, and you get off the phone and beat your kid to death. Because now you got it down, see. And there's a pride in making it, see. And pride cometh before the fall. I had it my way, huh? Or you get overconfident. Oh, why can't they see this? It's so simple. Why can't they see the wrong in this? It's so simple. It's so simple. And you get overconfident and you fall yourself. Be careful when you think you stand, lest you fall. Or maybe you've been through a terrible battle and then you're angry over the battle. Well, why did I have to go through this? That's what I'd like to know. Know nothing, the Bible says. I don't believe we should ever say of any act, oh God, I can handle this one. I won't need you for this one, Lord. You've taught me well. Call on you if I need you. Well, you don't say that, but you actually do it all the time. This is such a little thing. Go back to sleep. Take a rest. It's below the dignity of God, and I am sufficient in myself for this task. Yes, I'll go on. We have others to deal with, Lord. Besides, I got to go out and play God today myself. What you've taught me, I'm going to give to others. Never try to be the savior for a person. When they're going through a hard time, you either point them to Jesus, but don't point them toward yourself, and don't you melancholy them out. What's the matter? What's the matter, baby, boo, bub, huh? The worst thing you can do, not only will you hate the person, they'll hate you too. How many hearing this? They will positively hate you for playing the part of God because you're a ham actor. You're not to play the part of God. Preacher, you point them people to Jesus. That's what you have to do. When people come in for counsel, say, did you pray before you came in here? No, well then get out of here. Go pray and come on back again. Your counsel is going to come from God. You'll get confirmation on what I say to you. God is already going to be telling you. See, I can do nothing without Jesus. And then I'll just have a confirming word. So many people are given words. Do you have a word for me? Yeah, read your Bible, pray and fast, and get right with God. Bye. And they wait. They live for a word from somebody. I have a word for you. It's almost like they're looking in a crystal ball. I have a word for you. Now, there's a lot of near witchcraft things going on, and a lot of kitchen prophecy that's nothing. Self-lifting. By the way, you that prophesy over, if it doesn't build up and clear up and cheer up, it's not a God. It's always for the edifying. It's never for the tearing down. Oh, and they'll get in the Old Testament and they'll look up these scriptures. It would scare what hair I have left on my head off. I ain't giving it up. I refuse to be fearful. I want that side bangs. People call it damnable things. Don't they? Person called me one time and says, I had a dream. I dreamed that you were in a casket. What do you think that means? I says, it means you're weird. Stop watching these ghoul shows on the late TV. Yeah. Actually wanted to just scare you out of existence. Well, you don't have to scare me out of anything because I'm nothing, see? Why do you want to argue with nothing? Isn't that below you? See, you're one step above that. Without Christ, you can do nothing. Nothing that's good, and nothing that's right. I believe that we have no sufficiency of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but that our sufficiency is of God. Doesn't that take all the pressure off? Didn't the pressure leave you when you gave it up? Well, now there's nothing I can do. Well, nothing can't do nothing. Well, I can love God, I hear you say over the radio, all by myself. Or is that so? I mean, you complain over coming to church 3 hours a week. Although I must admit you are very apt at making excuses, and I wonder what spirit is giving that to you. Bible says we know not how we ought to pray, but the Spirit knows. You don't even know how to pray. Oh, yes, I do. I was taught as a wee lad to get down on my hands and knees and bow my head and say, this is all good. What I'm talking about, you don't even know how to pray. Lord, help Mom and Dad and Marge and Steve and Connie and Fred and Bill. Good night. No. We don't even know how to pray, but the Spirit intercedes for us. Pray in tongues. I mean, you'll probably be praying for your enemies because that's in the will of God. Well, I don't feel like praying for my enemies. Well, pray for them. It says, if you have aught against a brother, and you come to the altar, leave your gift. And it says, leave your gift because that'll make you come back again. Go out and make up with a brother and come on back again. Then give your gift. Are you hearing this? Don't we feel that each day to will is present with us? But how to perform that which we would, we find not, the Bible says. See, you can't find a way. You have to seek the way for the way, and that's the way. Our strength then is not only our weakness, but our perfect weakness. God will make you perfectly weak. You can't make yourself. How do you make yourself weak? Did you ever try to make yourself weak? You know what I mean? Barely make yourself. You can do that if you're depressed. You can make yourself weak. I don't think I can move my arms. I can't move my arms. They won't move. I'm perfectly weak. Did you ever try to make yourself perfectly weak? Someone can make you move. They say just the key words. Like good morning. Shut up! You're not dead yet. You're not weak yet. You're strong yet. Some people, it looks like they're weak, but they're very strong because they're making everybody else in the house weak. In other words, through their human weakness, they are torturing everybody else. Like the grandma that's in the wheelchair. Now, this is happening. Is in the wheelchair, and when the sonny boy goes out to work, her son, she gets up and tap dances. Poor mom. Poor old mom. Poor old husband. Poor old wife. And they run the whole house in a sort of a self-pity club. They're really strong in their human weakness at ruining the lives of everybody they come in contact with. They are a drudge. Here come to drudge. Here come to drag. And their spirit can take everybody downhill. Huh? How many are hearing this? How many want to get out of it? Raise both your hands. Well, you got to let go of her neck here if you're going to raise both your hands. Put both your hands up. You can massage her later. Come on. See? Put them up there. This makes you feel so good. I want to get out of it. There, get a neck hold on him. Flip them right over out in the aisle. You know you want to. Sometimes. We all want to, right? It's called human strength. That's mean. Believe me. Our strength, I said, is not only weakness, but perfect weakness, and God can make you perfectly weak. So now you're at a good, very good point in your life when you're perfectly weak. Don't let somebody try to build you up. Buckle down, Winsocky, buckle down, da-da-da-da-da-da, and put on these records. Or go back into your album. Remember? Stop remembering. Forgetting those things that are past, pressing forward towards the high mark, the calling in Christ. Forget! And that means yesterday. Forget it! Because today has got enough problems of its own. Don't look on to the future with a great big telescope. Here comes trouble, I can see it coming. It's an illusion, it's not there. A figment of your imagination and your fear. God doesn't reveal 2 weeks down the line what's going to happen. The guy asked me the night, said, if you knew everything was going to happen to you, did you ever go through this? I said, no. If I would have seen the first 5 years of my life, I would have shot myself. If I seen it all at once. If you knew everything that was going to happen to you, and you seen the whole thing before it happened, you wouldn't want to live. So you just get it in little doses. Because life is a trial. You're on trial here. The verdict isn't in yet. You're all going to be before the great white throne of judgment. Every one of us. Not for sins. That's all been passed away. Every nasty, dirty thing you ever did is covered by the blood of Jesus. But what did you do? What did you do now that you were a child of the King? And you'll all make it to heaven. Some will get there with the one hair and diapers on. But you'll still get there. What did you do?
Oh, I was so depressed.
Well, you were strong. That's why you were depressed. Well, I didn't feel strong. It takes a lot of strength to be depressed. So if you're here,